Now let's turn your Bibles back to 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Like I said, it probably seems a little bit strange since we have come through 1 Timothy this year and we finished up the final message last week in chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, that all of a sudden we're right back here in chapter 4 that we covered months ago. But you know, this is what the Lord has laid on my heart as far as our vision and direction for 2024. I have a lot that I need to lay out. Not so much in the sense of scripture references. We'll have a few, obviously, as we come through expositionally in the Word of God. But it's not like I'm going to re-preach what we looked at earlier this year. But it forms the foundation of what we're going to be seeing in 2024 and really leading up through 2025. This is a vision and direction, actually, the Lord gave me back in 2022. I was also really just considering actually going through what we're going to talk about for 2023, but the Lord laid on my heart what we needed to do this year and just being focused on being motivated to minister to lead us up until this time of what we're going to see. As you can see from your outline, the title of the message is Having a Fit Faith. And we're going to talk about this, and I really honestly didn't think about the timing of this and usual. You know, you got New Year's coming up. What do people usually do? They have their New Year's resolution, and usually it's going to be something about, I'm going to try to eat better, I'm going to try to exercise more, and maybe they get the gym membership, and that lasts for about a month, and then they go back to their old ways and things like that, all right? But what we're going to be looking at is having a vision. We do this every year, but one that is having a fit faith that just not deals with the physical aspect. Actually, that is literally one-third of what we're going to be looking at. What's going to be more important is really the complete person that we are. Remember, we're made in the image of God, and God is a Trinity. And so we are spirit, our own small spirit, letter S, or a small letter S, not the Holy Spirit. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. And there's three aspects of our being. And so when we talk about being fit, faith, and everything, we're talking about the complete person that we are. And I'll explain more about that, but I wanted just to have an understanding of that from the very beginning. Now, if you're looking at the Word of God here, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and specifically we're going to be looking at verses 7 and 8. In our scripture reading, we read verse 6 just to kind of get a little bit of the context of what Paul is telling Timothy about what it is and what he needs to do, and just reminding people and encouraging them in the Word of God and really standing on strong doctrine that he would be a good minister, nourished up in the words of faith. That very phrase kind of deals with making sure that you have a good biblical diet, nourished up, that you are understanding and taking in sound doctrine from the Word of God and not the vain babblings that we're going to talk about here in a little bit as we get into this. But he goes on in verse 7 and talks about, again, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, that would be like spiritual junk food, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And so in verse 7 we're going to look at exercise unto godliness, and then verse 8 it goes on and it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so we're going to talk about eternal profit in verse 8. So again, bodily exercise, it has profit. We'll talk a little bit about that for sure. But it is godliness that is profitable not only for the life that we're living now, but also for which is to come, which is eternity. Now, I want you to hold a finger there in 1 Timothy, but I want you to go to 3 John, almost at the end of your Bible before you get to Revelation. I want you to look at 3 John. And this is a greeting that the Apostle John has to a person he's writing to, Gaius, somebody that was very dear to him. And it's a small letter, not really much to it at all, but I want you to notice just verse 1 and 2 of this letter. So 3 John, starting in verse 1, I want you to notice what one of the things that John says to Gaius. It says this, verse 1. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now that verse is not a verse, verse 2, as far as dealing with a doctrinal type thing, because there are a lot of false teachers out there, and we've talked about that as we came through 1 Timothy this year, that want to talk about prosperity ministry, and they might use this verse to talk about that. This is just a greeting that John is laying out to Gaius. And to say, hey, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. So you see in Gaius that his soul is prospering, dealing with the spiritual aspect of himself, but he also wants him to be in health.
Now, again, I'm not going to try to step on any toes or anything like that. This is not something that's going to be a vision of where, you know, it is biblical Weight Watchers or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that, and you'll see as I come through this. But it's a matter of God has only given us one body, all right? And we need to be good stewards of that and to do things to the best of our ability. And my goal that I see this year is making sure that we are prospering and being in health and everything in the complete aspect of ourselves, that we are spirit, soul, and body. That brings me to my next reference as way of introduction. I want you to go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Again, I talked to you about that we are made in the image of God. We are spirit, we are soul, we are body. And I say that, but as I like to always do, as I preach and teach the Word of God, is give you the Bible reference for that. All right, and not that it's just my opinion or something that I've dreamt up or anything like that. What does the Word of God say? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as Paul is concluding a number of commandments and things that he's given to the Thessalonians before he ends his letter to that church, this is really his prayer that he has for them in verse 23. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit," notice, small s, "and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians when they stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, which we will all do someday as Christians, he wants us to be preserved blameless, completely, holy, in our spirit, in our soul, and in our body. In our thoughts, in our attitude, in our actions. All right? And so, with that as a background, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get started in seeing what the Lord will have for us, for our church, for 2024. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you and praise you for this time. I thank you that we're able to do this message at this time on this day. As we conclude 2023, I'm looking forward to 2024. Lord, we thank you for what you've shown us in coming through 1 Timothy and looking at being motivated to minister. That vision that you've given us out of 1 Corinthians 16:15 in the house of Stephanus and how they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, and how this year we look to really have opportunities to minister the truth of the Word of God to those around us, whether it's family, whether it was friends, whether it was co-workers, people in the community. And Lord, we thank you for all the opportunities that you've given us to do exactly that. Now, Lord, I pray that you help turn our hearts and our attentions to this year coming. It's a year that I know that I probably have a lot of potentially turmoil and things and challenges that can happen in our country and in our lives. And Lord, we're going to need what we're going to see today and throughout the rest of 2024. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that we'd be ready to hear your word and what you have for us. I pray that even through this message, that you would work in people's hearts about their own personal vision and direction that you would have for them to accomplish in this coming year. And really, 2024, as you laid on my heart, is just really the foundation and things that we need for what you've shown me that we need to be doing in 2025. Lord willing, and you, Terry, you're coming. Lord, I pray that we get everything that we need of being having a fit faith in 2024 so that we're ready to accomplish what you have for us as a church and individually in 2025. Lord, this is the first time I can even recall that you've really given me a vision and direction for our church for 2 years. And Lord, what you have for us in 2025 really depends a lot on what we understand and need to be doing in this coming year of 2024. So Lord, I pray that you would help me to clearly, cleanly, efficiently, and effectively, Lord, to lay out the vision that you've laid on my heart. Lord, that we would all hear it, that we would all take it to heart, and Lord, that we would want to and desire to have a completely fit faith in our spirit, in our soul, and even in our body. Lord, because, again, we want to be profitable for you, bring you glory. And that when we stand before you at the judgment seat of Christ, that we can indeed be blameless in spirit and soul and body, and because we have been obedient to the things that you've given us to do in your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's start digging into what we need to see in verse 7. Again, I'm not going to re-preach the message that I've done a number of months ago, but again, just for those of us who were here, it would be a way of review. But it says this in verse 7. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." So when we talk about refusing the profane and old wives' fables, things that are, again, that are not true to the Word of God at all. Matter of fact, if you just go back to what we covered last week, if you go to chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and verse 20, it's the same thing that Paul ends this letter to Timothy giving a warning about making sure you stay away from these things because people err from the faith. In verse 20 of chapter 6, 1 Timothy, it says this, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." Again, there's no problem with real science. Science and the Bible match up. It's the false science that ends up being an issue that calls people to err from the faith, along with the vain babblings that go on. If you go back to chapter 1 real quick, just give you another reference in this regard in verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. Again, you see this admonition to stay away from these false doctrines and these fables. In verse 4 it says this, "Neither give heed," don't even take the time to deal with this. It says, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." Edifying means to build up. Again, it kind of has language that lends itself to talking about physical exercise. And that's one of the things I'm going to kind of show you today, is that physical exercise really is a good picture of spiritual exercise and what we need to do. Most of you know that I train in karate. I've been doing it for a number of years, ever since I was 20 years old. I'm 54, so I've been doing karate for a long time. And one of the reasons I got into karate, because it was such a beautiful picture of what I need to be doing spiritually. Not that I'm out, you know, trying to physically wanting to fight everybody or anything like that. It's good health, that sort of thing. But it is a picture of spiritually making sure that I am fighting and ready to deal with the spiritual battles that are going on. And there's like many other different correlations with that. Well, Paul uses that. He uses things like running and walking and fighting and so forth, you know, even the idea of Olympic Games type thing, to be able to give people an understanding of spiritually what we need to be doing. Now, as you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 again, it says this, because we need to pick something else up in verse 7. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." So let's review what godliness is. Godliness is an old English word, King James word, that really deals with a contraction of two words, godlikeness. So godliness is being godlikeness. Our lives should be godlike. Not that we are God and sending down lightning bolts and can. No, that's not what we're talking about. But in dealing with God and His holiness and things that He lays out for us to live our lives by, that's what we should be doing. We should be exercising ourselves to godlikeness, being godly. And we've seen that word several times in 1 Timothy. Just a way of review again, I just want you to look back at the previous chapter. Look at chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, because it lays out for us what godliness is for us in our dispensation of grace, the time that we're living in now. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Now again, I preached that earlier this year. It's a single verse message that I did because there's so much in it. So if you need to remember that again or haven't heard it, you can go to our church website and listen to that message. It's up. But again, let me just give you the basic understanding of what's going on. When we talk about godliness, and he's talking about without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that mystery deals with specifically the Gentiles, those who are not Jews, those who are not of the nation of Israel. The doctrine that is given to the Gentiles and the apostle of the Gentiles is the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 11 and verse 13 lays that out for us, that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. So the doctrine that Jesus Christ communicated to the Apostle Paul is what we are supposed to have in our lives so that we are godly. Those books are Romans through Philemon. If you've been here for any time or listened to me preaching, you know I've said that over and over again. Not that we can't learn from the book of Exodus. We studied the book of Exodus last year. Or any of the books of the Bible. The book of Job. One time I preached through the book of Job. All right, and that was a challenge, but we did that. And so all of the Word of God is for us, but not all of the Word of God is to us. All right? And so what is doctrinally to us is the books of Romans through Philemon that God uses the Apostle Paul to write to us Gentiles. So in a nutshell, if I'm going to be godlike, all right, it's not about me bringing a lamb to sacrifice it. It's not about me going to Israel three times a year and presenting a sacrifice at the Wailing Wall or something like that. I mean, it's not about keeping Jewish law. Not even, get this, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is not doctrinally to us. Are there things in the Ten Commandments that we can have in our lives or understand? Yeah, you know, Paul even talks about some of those things. But one of them is not, like keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath is spending their time resting on Saturday, not Sunday. Sunday's not the Sabbath. Sunday's the first day of the week. All right? Saturday is the seventh day of the week. But it doesn't matter. All right? I can work all day on Saturday or any day of the week. That is not doctrine to us. It's not doctrine to me. What is doctrine to me is what's laid out in the books of Romans all the way through Philemon, those 13 books that are there. And so that is the godliness that we need to understand, is those doctrines and those books that are laid out to us. Now, let's go back to verse 7 again. Again, like I said, if you ever have any questions about that, feel free to ask me. I'd be more than happy to lay those things out. And actually, we cover a little bit of that in our discipleship. But notice verse 7 again. I want to pick up one thing before we move on. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." It's that word exercise. Exercise. I remember years ago in a church that Trish and I, and Andrew when he was born, grew up in, the church that I really got grounded, went through a patch of school, sent out as a missionary to Canada, and so forth and so on. I remember a particular pastor, he was saying, it's like, you do not want to just sit here in our church and get all this doctrine, everything that we're teaching, and do nothing with it. If that's the case, you're going to be spiritually fat. Spiritually obese. Getting all this doctrine and everything, but not exercising yourself, not doing something with it. In other words, being involved in ministry. Now, it's interesting because it's not an accident. What have we been talking about this past year? Is what? Being motivated to minister the Word of God. And see, and if all you're doing is getting, and I hope you learn here, all right? I've heard it before. People say, it's like, man, I've learned more in this church than I've had all my Christian life. And hopefully that is a sad statement in a sense. I mean, all churches should be teaching people and having them grow in the Word of God. But if all you do is just get fed, but you don't exercise yourself in ministry, then you're getting spiritually fat. All right? It's like, that's not what the purpose is. God wants you to exercise yourself in the things of the Word of God. In other words, just don't sit and take the Word of God in and do nothing with it, but actually apply it to your life. You see, it's a matter of actually that this, you know, understanding that the Word of God is actually the real words of God. God is speaking to you, and He wants to have a personal relationship with you, and He's got an adventure waiting for you that you need to exercise yourself in taking the Word of God and actually applying it to your life, and not just be to where you just, you know, you hear the Word of God and do nothing with it. Even, oh man, that's great stuff, but you do nothing with it. Exercise yourself. I want you to actually go to the book of Hebrews. Again, doctrinally, in a sense, it's not written to us, but there are things that we can devotionally apply in our lives. Yes, it is written by the Apostle Paul, but as the book says, it's to the Hebrews. But you have something that correlates to what we're talking about today. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 12 and read down to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 5, picking it up in verse 12. It says this, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." That word oracles is the idea of dealing with the Word of God. It's not some Greek mythology or anything like that. It says, "And become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so if you are a babe in Christ, then you're on milk. Now, if you have just come to Christ, that's not a problem. You think about it, again, the physical representing the spiritual. Somebody that is a babe, somebody who is a baby, just born, they need the milk. Alright? It's awesome. It's like I was amazed with son Andrew here, visiting. When he was born, all he needed for almost the first year of his life was milk. That was it. Alright? And that's and it grows thereby. But there comes a point where you need the milk, and that's not going to do it. Alright? In fact, we're going to have, you know, lunch right after I'm done preaching. And you're probably like, yeah, hurry up, get going, because food's smelling good. But it's like, if all I say, yeah, here's what we're having for lunch today, milk. I said, what? Is that all it? Boy, I got whole milk, 2%, and skim. You're going to be like, okay, once we leave here, we're going to McDonald's or something. I don't know. Alright? It's like, at a certain point, milk's not going to do it. You're going to need more than that. All right, you're going to need some substance. You're going to need some meat. Well, that's the same thing spiritually. And it's unfortunate, as I say quite often, there are too many churches, there are too many pastors that all they ever do on a Sunday morning is give you milk. If you are saved, you know that you're heaven bound. Why on earth would you continue to preach to people every Sunday about getting saved? That's just the beginning. There's more to it than that. You need to start growing. You need to have the meat. And Paul is saying the time you ought to be teaching. You should be teaching the Word of God, but you need somebody else to teach you again because you haven't done anything to grow thereby. He says the same thing basically to the Corinthians. Why don't you go back, and this obviously is our doctrine, go to the 1 Corinthians real quick to chapter 3, and we'll look at the first three verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. See, how I preach and how I teach is in a way, it's how I give you some exercise, because you're going from Scripture to Scripture, but that's how we learn the Word of God. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice the first three verses here. Now, the Corinthians, they were the carnal Christians. All right, they were babes as well because they were in the flesh and not walking according to the Spirit. And Paul has to call them out on that. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal," that means in the flesh. "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" In other words, you should be spiritual. I should be able to give you meat. You know, because you've grown, you've exercised yourself. You're able to discern between good and evil and so forth, like we saw it in Hebrews chapter 5. But Paul says, I can't do that with you Corinthians because you're still on milk. You should be on meat, but you're still on milk because why? You're in the flesh. You're not really taking in the Word of God and allowing it to give you the nutrition that it needs and to grow thereby. That's a shame. You go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's bring it into verse 8. So verse 1, we talk about exercising ourselves unto godliness, that you're actually taking in the Word of God that is to us and doing something with it, actually applying it to your life. Because it has eternal profit, verse 8. Now let's look at this in verse 8. It says this, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Now, it says, bodily exercise profiteth little. And it's in regard to, no matter how physically fit I may get myself on planet Earth, it's not going to do me any good when I die. It's not going to do me any good as far as eternity and heaven. And it's like, I mean, I enjoy working out. It's something that I do and have been doing a lot more of it on this last year. Really focused for me personally that I want to be in better shape. And, you know, I want to get off blood pressure medicine and off cholesterol. I mean, there's things that is I want to be able to do, all right? And that sort of thing. And I enjoy it. But understanding that, you know what? It only profits me in this life. There is some profit. I want you to see that. I want you to understand that. But what is much more is godliness, exercising myself on the godliness, because it'll profit me not only right now, but also in eternity future. My goal, I want to be able to rule and reign with Christ. This is something else that a lot of churches, unfortunately, don't really deal with. They just think, oh, you get saved and everything is fine and that's all you need to do. No. There's so much more that God has for us, but it depends on how we exercise ourselves to godliness right now. You want to be married to Christ? You want to be able to rule and reign with Christ throughout the whole universe for all eternity? Well, that's something that's conditional on how we live our lives as Christians now. All right? And so God desires for us. That's why we talked about being motivated to minister this year, because, again, that's how we're able to do the things that God wants to do and to be able to be counted worthy to be able to rule and reign with Christ for all eternity. Now, here's something I want you to see. Again, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Now, I want you to actually go back to the book of Proverbs real quick. Proverbs chapter 4. So from 1 Timothy chapter 4 to Proverbs chapter 4. And I want you to look at verses 20 to 22. 20 to 22. It says this. This is Solomon. He is son of David. He is king. God gives him a lot of wisdom. And God uses him to write the book, not only Proverbs, but also Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, he's talking to his son. Verse 20. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." And it's very personal, obviously. Solomon writing to his son. His son, the one of them is Rehoboam, who actually is king after him. And Rehoboam doesn't do that good of a job of actually listening to his father. But suffice it to say, you also have a picture of, imagine, God the Father talking to you. Now, there's a lot of words that are out in the world. There are a lot of sayings that are out in the world. Solomon's saying, "My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings." Personal. It's like God wants a personal relationship with you, that we call Him Father, and we're able to have that through the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him and what He's done for us on a cross, His death, burial, and resurrection. God the Father has His Word for you, and we need to make sure we are listening to it, that we're inclining our ear to it. He's got something to tell us. And it goes on in verse 21, it says this, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." I mean, it's like he's saying, hey, make sure you keep your eyes on the interesting, on the words that I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying and keep your eye on what I am saying. And literally, we're able to do that as we hold the Word of God in our hand to be able to hear what's going on, what He's saying to us, and to keep our eyes on it. Now, this is important because, again, just like I mentioned about people and having resolutions, and if you want to do that, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But a lot of times, those resolutions go by the wayside, and they usually go by really quick. Why? Because people don't continue to incline themselves to do it. It may be easy to be all gung-ho and all excited about, hey, yeah, I'm going to work out, I'm going to do this, I'm going to watch it, I'm going to eat and everything like that. Then all of a sudden, you start drifting back into the old habits. And you don't progress. You don't profit from that resolution that you have. That's what I'm talking about. Let's have a vision from God of what He wants for you. And it's like, it's a matter of doing it when you don't feel like doing it. Folks, you know there's times where I every other weekend I work. I work the night shift. I come here and I do everything I can to preach and teach the Word of God. I sleep for a few hours and then I get up and go back to work again for another night shift. If you were to ask me on those Sunday mornings, "Charles, how do you feel? You feel like preaching?" I feel like sleeping. That's what I feel like doing. But I know I need to do what God has called me to do. It's being resolved to do that. And there's so many times as Christians that we start out like, hey, I'm gonna be in the Word of God, I'm gonna be praying, I'm gonna focus on my relationship with the Lord, and all of a sudden it goes to the wayside because we don't continue to keep our ears on the Word and our eyes on the Word of God. And if we do that, notice the result here. It says in verse 22, I'm going to read from verse 21 again. It says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, in health to all their flesh." You ever stop to think that by applying what the Word of God says will make you, can help you physically in health? I'm not saying it's some miracle that, you know, hey, that'd be great. Let me read the Word of God, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't need to have a hip replacement like I did 2 years ago. Or I didn't have to have another knee surgery. You know what my resolution is? I think I told you guys that. I want to try to get through a year, 2024, without having a surgery. That's my resolution, because the last 3 years, I've had knee surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery. I would love to be, oh yeah, Word of God, boom, fit, woohoo, look at that thing go. That's not what we're talking about. But there's some things that biblically, if we just are following godliness, that will help us even health-wise. Give you a silly example. You guys may know, I have glaucoma. I got the glaucoma. I was diagnosed back in 2006. So I got to take eye drops. That's something I'm never going to get off of. I'm always going to have to take my 2 eye drops every day, and because there's no cure for glaucoma. Maybe one of these days they'll have a cure for glaucoma. I don't know. But right now they don't. And, you know, sometimes people joke with me. It's like, and I even joke with my specialist sometimes. It's like, my eye pressure's lower. Good, because I've been smoking the marijuana. Because you got glaucoma, smoking marijuana, so it'll lower the eye pressure. I get a glaucoma magazine every once in a while. This is a little newsletter update. Usually it's like twice a year or three times a year, whatever it is. But they actually talk about if you smoke marijuana and try to lower the pressure in your eye, you'd have to smoke a minimum of 4 joints a day. 4 joints. Can you imagine me smoking 4 joints every day? I'll be up here for eating. I'll have to have another my chips over here and my snacks. And, you know, I'm probably not going to do too well with my weight loss or anything like that. Now, again, I'm not going against marijuana. Don't think that. I'm just giving you how would I physically be if I smoked 4 joints a day? And we're not talking marijuana today. We're not talking about, as they would say, remember, I'm a police officer, so I know these terms, ditch weed, not the junk stuff. I mean, THC and marijuana these days is so potent that it is affecting people's mental capacities and so forth. I mean, I may lower my pressure in my eyes, but I'm going to have some other health issues. All right? And I'm just using a silly example, but there are so many things that lifestyle-wise, the things that are against the Word of God, that people do affect their health. I think I don't think I have to try to prove that out to you. All right? I don't. All right? So, it's just very thing. I mean, Bible says, nothing wrong with drinking. Hey, you want to pop your champagne at midnight? I have no problem with that. Have no problem. You want to drink a beer? I have no problem with that. But, man, he's certainly not a Baptist preacher. No. No, I'm not. I'm a Bible preacher. But the Bible does talk about not being drunk. All right? And so, if you become an alcoholic, that's going to affect some things physically with you. That's my point, all right? And it's like dealing with understanding godliness and exercising ourselves to godliness can even help us physically in our health. All right, again, you go back to 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Again, the emphasis is on dealing with the spiritual over the physical, but this is not just get rid of the physical, well, I don't have to worry about that. Well, again, God's only given you one body that He wants you to serve Him with and to bring Him glory. It's not like, you know what, it doesn't matter how I treat this because I got another body just waiting in the closet somewhere. No, this is it. This is it. All right? And so there's some profit to it. But ultimately, the profit that we're talking about is spiritually far as what's going to affect us in eternity. And so to understand that, just real quickly, I want you to go to 2 Timothy, just the next book over. Again, this is familiar. It's not new, anything that's coming up here, especially if you've been around here. But I want you to look at verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And then we're going to get into laying out specifically what the vision is for this year for us, so having a fit faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says this: "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." God has some good works for us laid out. Thoroughly furnished, that's inside out. It's a word that we don't usually use anymore. Usually, new translations of the Bible just change it to thoroughly. Thoroughly really just deals with the outside. Thoroughly is inside out. If I want my car thoroughly cleaned, that means I go get it detailed, which I've never done. To be honest with you, the price tag is like, I don't think so. But anyhow, my inside of my car is clean, and then the outside is clean. All right? Thoroughly is inside out. That's why it's important of getting the Word of God in you. It starts from the inside out. If you remember our study in the book of Exodus, if you were to look at the tabernacle, it is really probably nothing to look at on the outside. But whoa, inside. How pretty was that? All the gold and all the furnishing and things like that. The inside is always more important than the outside. That's profitable for this life and that which is to come. All right? And so, you know, Paul telling Timothy, this is the importance of the Word of God. It's going to truly furnish you. How? It is profitable for doctrine. You've got to understand doctrine. In a day in Christianity where people don't want to focus on doctrine anymore, you know, well, we've got to study, yeah? That's what we're supposed to do. You know, understand doctrine, all right? But it's for reproof. Hey, if you're doing something wrong, I need to know that you're doing something wrong. I thank God, Lord, this is wrong. I need to correct it. Thank you, Lord, for reproving me with your word. And not only that, correction. We live in a day and age with what? You can't say nothing to nobody about anything that is obviously wrong. Oh, you're racist. I'm not racist. I'm racist. Oh, I'm so racist. Yeah, I can't stand white people. That's why I married one. I mean, it's like you can't tell people. It's like, I mean, I got to move on. I can't get it. I can't. But it's like any parent in their right mind is going to train their kid, because kids do things wrong by nature, and us as the fathers give that to them. All right? You can ask Andrew. Did I ever tell you this is how you be mean to somebody? No. I don't think so. Hey, Andrew, this is how you steal something. Not that he's stolen anything. I don't think he has. All right. Here's how you lie. Did I ever come to you like, hey, and mom says, hey, did you eat that cookie? Here's how you deal with it. What cookie? No parents have to teach their kids how to do wrong. It comes naturally. But what are parents supposed to do? Teach our kids to do what? How to do what is right. How do we know what is right? Word of God. And so, it's profitable. The Word of God is profitable for those things. And again, I understand that it can be hard to deal with some of those things, but that's what the Word of God is for. God wants you to be in a place that where you're going to profit for all eternity, and that means that the Word of God is there for doctrine, so you teaching. You understand exactly what God is laying out for you in your life at this time in our lives, in the dispensation of grace, but it's also for reproof. Hey, Charles, you're doing this wrong. Okay, Lord, I see that. Yeah, and we need to talk about that. Let's stop doing that. Here's what I want you to do. Let me give you some instruction on how to do what is right, because the goal, Charles, is to have you truly, from the inside out, ready, furnished, to do the good works I have lined up for you. Folks, when I say that God has an adventure for you as a Christian, I literally mean that God has an adventure for you. That's why this whole year I've been talking about being motivated to minister. Christianity is, good God, it is more than just coming to Christ and sitting in a pew, listening to some guy like me preach, and that's all there is to it. Because if that's all Christianity is, let's just stop, let's go eat, let's go party. Let's go do something else, if it doesn't matter. But that's what churches are at today. No, God has an incredible adventure, but you have to be fit and ready for it. Now, as we look at 2024, let me just lay out some things that we're going to be focusing on. When we talk about having a fit faith, like I said, I talked about more, obviously, just physically, it's not what we're just dealing with. We're dealing, more importantly, dealing with our spirit and with our soul. We live in a day and age, especially over these last number of years, that people are having a hard time with all the things that we've gone through with COVID and the shutdowns and all the craziness that's going on, not only in our country, but in the world, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any easier. It looks like the more time you turn on the news, there's just more things that are happening. It can take a toll on people spiritually, mentally. How many problems that people have that are legit, they have mental issues that are going on that need to be dealt with. And we live in a day and age where people really don't want to do that. Somebody has some sort of mental disorder or something like that, we just shove it in the rug or pass it along, maybe somebody else will do it. People don't want to do the work to actually deal with the problem. People are struggling and going through things. Well, you know what? The Word of God has the answer. I wholeheartedly believe that. And when we talk about being fit spiritually, we are talking about being fit mentally. I won't have you to take the time to go to the reference, mark it down, but in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, it talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That word spirit is small s. We're not talking about the Holy Spirit of God. You're talking about your own personal spirit. Remember, we are spirit, we are soul, we are body. And the first thing that we need to be having a fit faith in is fit spiritually or mentally. And that's why the Bible talks so much about having your mind renewed. I've got a couple of great podcasts on my podcast that I do, Podbean. Go get it. Go look at it. Listen to it. That sort of thing that deals with how to have being mentally sharp or fit. And it comes through your time in the Word of God. That every day it's so important to spend time in God's Word because it'll help you get fit spiritually. Help you get fit mentally. Now let's talk about the soul. We're spirit, we're soul. The soul deals with your emotions. Does anybody out there have some struggles every once in a while with your emotions? Yeah. I do. You know me. Jeez, it doesn't take long. None of you guys, but you know, I've used this example before because it's kind of funny. I mean, I'm a cop. Before the state position that I have now, I was a municipal cop, and the last things I did for Marion Police Department, I was a traffic officer. And so, man, that could be a pet peeve of mine. Driving back from Kansas City, if it says 75 miles an hour, for goodness sake, drive 75 miles an hour. Don't be in front of me driving 45 miles an hour. Because that messes with my emotions. I got somewhere to be. I worked all night, slept only 2 hours, went to a wedding in Kansas City, come back. I'm tired. I'm tired. And so it's like we all have our pet peeves, our struggles and things like that. And it's like God only wants us to be mentally fit, spiritually fit. He wants us to be emotionally fit. Our heart is, when we talk about that, that's our soul. That's where our will is. That's where we make decisions. We want to be emotionally fit. We have emotions, but it's dealing with them biblically. I mean, have you heard? In Ephesians, I'm not going to have you take the time to go there, but even in Ephesians chapter 4, again, one of the things it says is be angry. What? The Word of God tells me, it's literally in command form, be ye angry. What? Yeah. I can deal with you angry? No, there's some things to be angry over. I'm not too happy, not to get political, but I'm not too happy, especially being in law enforcement, what's going on with the border. I'm not saying I'm angry over it, but I am greatly frustrated over it. There are legitimate things to be angry. There is so much cruelty and crime that's in the world that is not being prosecuted. That angers me at times. But the thing is, don't sin in that. And later in that chapter, it talks about what? Dealing with the anger. Alright? That sort of thing. To give you an example, God made us emotional people. We're not robots. But we need to make sure that we're emotionally fit. How do we deal with our soul, our heart, and the things that really try at us? Word of God. Word of God. And then also, let's talk about physical. There's little profit when you're talking about eternity, but there is profit. God wants us to be fit, spirit, soul, and body. And again, I'm not talking about, I expect everybody to look like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his day or anything. I'm not talking about anything. I don't know. You know where you're at. For me, I know where I'm at, what my goals are, what I want to do to try to be fit, because again, I have one body that God has given me and all that. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying that you need to watch what you eat, you need to do this, that, and the other, and I'm going to dictate a pastor what you eat. No, it's not that at all. My simple goal in the physical fit aspect of it is, my desire is for you to keep moving. What do I mean by that? Maybe, you know, the physical activity that you do, maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's taking care of the farm animals. Maybe it's golfing. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, I like martial arts. I like walking. I mean, my thing is, I got a treadmill. Thanks to the Courtney's, I use that thing. And my thing is, I hope I don't break this thing, because I love my treadmill. All right? I get on my treadmill, do the incline, I'm listening to my music and everything like that. I'm having a good time. The other day, I was literally in tears as I'm listening to music, and it happened to be gospel music. That some people wonder if I'm black. That part of me is black, gospel music. I mean, some people are like, you're the strangest black person I know. You don't sound black. You don't like, quote-unquote, black foods and so forth. I can't play basketball. Okay. The black part of me, skin color, and I like gospel music. I'm listening to gospel music. I'm doing my treadmill, and I'm living in tears because after I did my devotion in the morning, the Lord was bringing back things in my life and things that He has brought me through to bring me to the point of where I'm at. So what He wants for me to do in 2024, I was literally walking on my treadmill, listening to music in tears. My point is, whatever you're doing, moving, like I said, keep moving, and you can use that as an opportunity to learn things spiritually. That's why I do karate. Alright? That sort of thing. I learn things spiritually. Walking, I learn things even as I'm doing that. Whatever it is. Again, you don't need to tell me what, I'm not going to, you know, if you want me to help you keep accountable on something, yeah, I'm more than happy to do that. But I'm not sitting here saying, I want everybody to give me what your physical goals are for 2024. This is not what this is. I just want you to be moving, doing something, being active. Do you know when the first time the Holy Spirit of God shows up in the Word of God? Do you know what that is? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. You know what the Holy Spirit of God is doing when you see Him show up in the Word of God? Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. When you see the Spirit of God, He is moving. He is not sitting, He's not stagnant, not doing, He is moving. And He wants to move in your life. It is a great picture, again, physical things that you do is a great picture of spiritually what needs to be taking place in your life. Christianity is an adventure. So here's what we're going to be doing. Again, how are we going to start talking about this? What are we going to do? Here's what I'm going to be preaching through in 2024 in Psalm 119. Being fit spiritually, fit emotionally, and again, physically, just keep on moving, that sort of thing. We're going to go through Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has 22 stanzas based on the Hebrew alphabet. It's called an acrostic poem. If we had it in Hebrew, every verse would start out with that Hebrew letter. All right? And so we're going to go through Psalm 119. There's 22 stanzas, but we're only going to use and do half of it. So it'll be one stanza every 2 weeks. We are going to detail, go through Psalm 119. There's some stanzas that maybe I'll do 5 verses and 3 the next week or vice versa, that sort of thing. But for the most part, it's going to be 4 verses a week. That's what we're going to be doing as a church. Alright, on Wednesdays, like I said, that's where the rubber meets the road. With the exception of this coming Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month will be focused on a prayer request that you see from Psalm 119. Alright, it might be, again, like one of the verses that, if you remember, like verse 9 talks about, wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So maybe my prayer request is, Lord, help me to keep my way clean. Lord, help me to do that by heeding your word. All right? So that'll be the first Wednesday of the month, with the exception of this coming week. All right? The second week will be a devotion. Again, Wednesday, we try to get everybody involved. All right? I want everybody to be involved. But, man, I never taught anybody. You don't have to worry about coming up here. You can sit in your pew and say something. You can be that way. You know, I'm not ready to teach something, but come anyway because you're going to get blessed by what other people are going to teach. All right? I'm very easygoing with that, but my goal is to try to stretch you, to grow you. If you're going to be able to minister the Word of God to people, then you got to start doing that. And this is a great environment to do. It's just us. We're not going to come down on you. I'm not going to say, well, that's a stupid thing you came up with, or how come you didn't come up with that? No. As long as you're not preaching that Muhammad is God or something, then you're good, all right? I mean, I got to kind of correct that, you know, that sort of thing. But it's like, I know how the Lord dealt with me through the years. He can show you, He can teach you, all right? And so it's a great environment to do that. So that second week is a devotion, but it's based off some aspect of exercise word that you see in the Word of God. Like I gave you Hebrews chapter 5, I'm talking about exercise to godliness. Let me do a devotion maybe on that reference. There's plenty of references in the Bible that talk about walking, running, whatever, fighting, that sort of thing, that you have a devotion that's focused on some aspect of exercise in the Bible. I mean, you're just playing right into our vision. Week number 3 will be a devotion based on dealing with some aspect of being, whether being spiritually or mentally fit, emotionally fit, or physically fit. A little bit different than what we're talking about in week number 2. In other words, again, this part from Psalm 119, David's talking about my soul cleaveth unto the dust. He's having a really bad day. And he goes on and says, quicken thou me, I think, according to thy word. That's emotional. Soul. We've all been there. Bad news, whatever the case is, just a bad day. Lord, I need you to quicken me. Last week, it's like when Monday hit, last week was my 5-day week. The last 2 days of my work was just dealing with stupid, acting, drunk people. And the very last thing before the casino closed, I get called out to the floor because somebody dropped their meth. 61-year-old guy doing meth. Why are you doing meth at 61 years of age? I mean, it's like, great, another report, another thing I have to deal with. And it's like, my soul was cleaving to the dust in dealing with this stuff. Nature of the job, that's what it is. But it was so nice to be quickened and restored to just spending time with my wife. The Chiefs didn't help out last week, but still, I got through it. All right, that sort of thing. We all go through times our soul, our heart, needs some help. Maybe your devotion is on something like that. All right? The fourth week is just be whatever you're reading is. I always encourage you to be reading in the Word of God. It doesn't matter where it comes from, wherever it is that you're reading, a devotion based off your reading. For me, I personally will be going through the letters of Paul, Romans through Philemon, 4 times this year because it's 87 chapters, 1 chapter a day. That's my reading for this coming year. You know, and so when it comes to that Wednesday, I'll be sharing something out of my personal reading. Fifth Wednesday. So we had a fifth Wednesday. We're going to do something that is more like a group activity. And I'll point one person to do the devotion. You know, and that sort of thing. So more to come on that. So that's dealing with our Wednesdays. All right? Again, that's what we're looking at. All right, something else we're going to be doing this year, starting in March, for all the people that have been through discipleship and start teaching doctrinal truth. We're going to take, normally during our question and answer Bible study, it's going to work to where it's my weekend off, obviously, that we'll be doing that. We'll start in March and we'll start going through doctrinal truth. After our discipleship one-on-one, we have doctrinal truth that goes into more detail as far as rightly dividing the Word of God, so we're going to start doing that. But far as and literally, it's going to be with our guys because we wanted to do something special for the ladies, and so that's where Trish and Pam, they're going to develop a women's study. So while us guys are doing doctrinal truth, there'll be a women's study going on at the same time. So after I'm done preaching in a morning service, one Sunday a month, instead of having our question and answer Bible study, we'll split up and we'll do that. And I think it's going to be an absolute awesome time blessing all the way around, you know, with that. So we're going to start doing that, and that's going to start in March, as far as that is concerned. Now, that kind of lays it out. Again, having a fit faith, we're focused on completely being fit in spirit, soul, and body. And in my message piece that I had on Facebook, I said, this year, 2024, is so important because it's setting the stage for 2025. I mean, this is the first that the Lord's really ever given me, I think, a vision for 2 years. And He gave this to me back in 2022. this year is important to do what we're talking about. There's been a goal. There's been something that I've always had in my mind that I want for our church.
And that's to be involved somewhere in the world in dealing with missions.
Because I know what that's done for me and Trish. All right? Being involved in missions. All right? Trish and I had the privilege of being able to go to Romania back in 1991. And that's really where God's like, you know what? I want to be involved in missions. We spent 7.5 years in Canada, you know, on a field there. And it's like, I've always wanted that for my church. And not that we just have a church that supports missionaries somewhere. I want, trust the Lord, for God to give us a country to be able to invest in. I don't know where it is or what it is, that sort of thing. But now I know. This has been the craziest thing that's happened to me. And there's times, like I said, you want to talk about the things that go into my heart this time. I try to be open and real with you guys. There's some times that I'm like, man, who am I reaching? As a pastor, as a minister, who am I reaching? Who's really? And this goes to show, you never know who's actually listening to what you're preaching and teaching. You just never know. I got an email back in November of this year from this guy named Sam from Uganda, Africa. He's saying that your messages and everything has been a blessing. Can you come over and teach and train us? And my first thing is like, okay, is he actually a Nigerian prince and he just wants money? That's my first thought. It's like, to be honest, it's like, okay, what is this? And he contacted us through a website that our church has listed on for dispensations, those who rightly divide. And so I answered him back, but I said, it's like, hey, I need to know, basically, praise God, but I need to know more about you, your church. You know, what messages have you, listened to, that sort of thing. You know, kind of test it out a little bit. I hadn't heard anything back. But I think it was like that night or so at work. A lot of times I have some time. I'm walking around the facility. I'm outside praying. I'm like, Lord, I've never had a desire to go to Africa. You want me to go to Europe? I love Europe. I think I am. That's a white part of me, I guess. I don't know. I love Europe. I never had a desire to go to Africa. But Lord, is that something that you're doing? You want me to preach the word in Africa? Oh, let's go. But I never heard anything back. Then all of a sudden I get another email from him, basically the same thing, and I resend the message that I sent to him before, my email before, added a few words, and then I heard back from him. Eventually, I'm trying to make a long story short here. December 6th was a Wednesday. That week I was going through some things. Talk about my soul being down. It was very down. I finished my devotion that I did that morning. I opened up his email, his response, and I literally was crying like a baby. Trish is like, she gets up and is like, hey, what's going on? I just hand her my phone, you gotta read this. Yeah, he's been listening to my message. He was listening specific messages. He was saying this, like, hey, I had an issue with my leadership team, and we heard your message on, being enabled to minister, and it's like, man, it changed us. And then we listened to another one of our messages, and it's like, can you come over and train our people and dealing with evangelism and just, all number of things, And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. Again, we've been in constant communication, really, for these last several weeks, ever since December 6th. Facebook friends, on WhatsApp, everything like that. Trish and I, we had a video chat with them just a couple of Saturdays ago. The 9-hour difference in time period, so it's like 9:30 a.m. our time, it's like 6:30 p.m. their time. It's on East African time. I kind of like that because that's EAT, so no matter in Uganda, it's always time to eat. Love that. Anyhow. I'm getting hungry here, but suffice it to say, here's what it looks like is going to happen. We've got dates set aside for me to come over this year, just me, to lay some groundwork. He's talking about bringing in 40 pastors from around the area, and then he has another 30 pastors that preach and teach rightly dividing. I was concerned about, talking about being like-minded, and he had posted a commentary on just Romans chapters 15 and 16. Boom, 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 down the line, everything we teach. It's just absolutely amazing because a lot of times we think, man, we're just kind of like one of the only churches out there. This is pastor in Uganda that I never even thought about. Yeah. Preaches and teaches the same way. And we're looking at having me come over for 2 weeks, first week having a 3-day conference of dealing with some pastors around the region, and then the next week, 3-day conference just dealing with his 30 that he has, and doing some things there, and just discipleship training and evangelism, that sort of thing, and preaching in a prison, university, some other things going on. By the time it's all said and done, and in 2 week period, I think I'm going to be preaching like 26 or so messages and just teaching. It's going to be a packed couple of weeks. But that's setting the stage of what I see the Lord doing for us in 2025. It's getting you guys involved in Uganda. It may be that you go. It may be that you're here supporting. I don't know what it all means, but I know that what we're talking about today in 2024, being fit in spirit, soul, and body, is preparing us what God wants us to do in 2025. And I believe that message is going to be walking in wisdom. That's what 2025 is going to be about, and literally doing it, not just here, but in the field over in Africa somewhere. And I want you to be thinking about it, because I know what it is. A lot of times the people are like, well, there's no way I can do this. Christianity should be an adventure.
Yeah.
How do you not know you can't do that? When I got saved in 1988, and the Lord said and just came down and said, okay, Charles, this is what your life is going to be for the next 40-some years, and you're going to be doing this, this, that, and the other, and going this, that, and I'm being like, I think I'll stick to playing drums. I would never trade what the Lord has done with me in these last number of years. And folks, I'm telling you, I didn't go to Bible college. Well, I did one semester of Bible college and realized, this ain't it, all right? I have no seminary degree. I don't have anything like that. I have a sociology degree, all right? I don't have anything, a master in divinity. And I'm knocking that or anything. All I'm saying is, God can take anybody. If He took me that high, I started out knowing nothing about the Word of God. I was not trained in the Word of God. I was not raised in this. I got saved when I was 19, working at a Boy Scout camp. If God can take me to do the things that He's done over the last number of years, and I think really prepare me for what's going to happen this coming year and in the future, I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this as hyperbole. He can do that with you. And it doesn't matter how old, how young, whatever it is. All He's looking for is somebody with an open heart and an open book, His Word. You trust God and His Word, apply it to your life, get fit, get the nourishment of the Word of God in you. It's an adventure. I heard a pastor once say, your life as a Christian should be like an Indiana Jones movie. Only explained by God. But so many Christians will never leave the church pew or do anything, because they just think and they get sucked in by life from Satan, from their flesh. Oh, there's no way God can use you. You know what you did in the past. If I told you things that I have done in my past, you might not be in church next week. That's what God's grace is all about. And I try as much as possible as a pastor that you're not thinking that I am some holier than thou, that I'm lifted up. No. I am just human like you. I just decided at some point in time that God has just given me a desire for and a love for His Word and to be used with Him. He can do the same thing with you. So 2024 is important. Getting fit. Getting fit in spirit and soul and body for what He has in store for us in 2025. V-Terry's is coming. Folks, I'm telling you, you really learn and grow when you have to. One, if you're able to, and I know it's not going to be easy. That's what I'm telling you now. If you think, you might think that the Lord had you go on that trip, start saving now. I mean, just don't dismiss it out of mind. Because what it does, when you go to the mission field and you leave the confines of the United States and really see how other people live and to be able to minister to people, it'll do something in your own walk and relationship with the Lord. Just don't dismiss it out of mind. There's no way I can do that. No, maybe I'm too much in the age to do something like that, or maybe I don't know enough about the Word of God to do that, or whatever. Just trust God. Keep an open mind. Keep an open book, and see what He does for you and through you in this coming year to help you get ready for what He wants to do in your life in 2025. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it's been long. I know it has been. But Lord, I pray that the things that we laid out, you know, and I know I didn't do a good job of it or whatever. I don't. But Lord, I trust Your Spirit. I trust Your Word to work in the hearts of everyone that's here, everyone that's listening online, everyone who will hear this message. Father, that You continue to do do a work in their lives. But I just simply pray for open hearts, open minds to your word and what you're doing. That we all would have a desire to be fit in spirit and soul and body, that we can be used of you in the lives of the people, in our own families, around us, in our own workplace or neighborhood, wherever the case is. And Lord, who knows? Be used of you in other places in the world. Places that we haven't even thought of or even came into mind. Lord, we know you have an incredible purpose and plan for each and every person on this planet. And it starts with being in Christ. And that's not the end, that's just the beginning. Lord, you're incredible in what you can do with us and through us. But one thing that you can't do, in a sense, is make us obey. We're not robots. You want us to. You have good works laid out that we should walk in, but we have to decide to do it. Lord, help this coming year that we'll be starting really in just a few hours, really. We end this year, 2023, and we go into 2024. Lord, help us to be ready, to be willing, to allow your word to work in our hearts, that we take everything that we can get out of Psalm 119 this coming year to help us to be mentally, emotionally, and even physically fit and equipped to be able to do the work that you have for us to do, not only in 2024, but in 2025. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.